Well, turn to your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Now, what we saw last week is really the continued hatred Satan has for God and anything that has to do with God. Today, we continue to see this hatred, and we know that Satan's main goal was to overthrow God. We saw that from the time that he came and deceived a third of the angels and had that war in heaven, and Satan was cast out that first initial time at that, what I call the original sin time, that then included as he was cast out of heaven down to earth and deceived Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned against God, disobeying God's word, bringing sin, destruction into this world. But he also went on that torrent, if you will, of trying to prevent God's plan of salvation to come to fruition. But God, we know, made that first prophecy of the Savior to come when he told Satan that, yeah, you may bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head, the Messiah. But Satan failed at every turn, and as we will see, his anger is now directed towards the people of God and primarily the nation of Israel. So let's read our verses and let's jump in today. But Revelation chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. It says, "And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the sand of the sea." Now again, for the past 2 weeks, we're looking at two different times that Satan was cast out of heaven. As I mentioned earlier, that there was that original fall, that original casting out of heaven. And this time, now, as we see during this tribulation time, Satan has come back to heaven and with one last ditch effort seeks to overthrow God. And that battle ensues, and the archangel Michael and the angels fight against Satan and his demons, and he's cast out again down to earth. And that's why last week we saw that this is a joyous time, a victorious time to be celebrated. And why? This was the last time that Satan would be allowed to come before God. If you remember again in Job, that when the angels came before God, that Satan was there. And God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan didn't ask for Job. God said, have you considered my servant Job? This also be the last time that Satan would be allowed to accuse the followers of the Lord Jesus, the one that the Apostle John refers to as his brothers, and we could say brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not the last time that he goes after the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we see, once he is cast back to the earth from heaven. But we saw last week where it said, "Rejoice, rejoice, for he is gone." But then it said, "Woe to those that are on the earth." And so we read in verse 13 again, it says, "And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child." Now, we've talked a lot about symbolism when it comes to the book of Revelation, of where to take symbolism and where to take things literal. And we're going to see quite a bit of symbolism today in these verses. But we'll see it where how, again, it refers back to a person, a group of people, and also refers to a person or a group of people, how they're being treated. As we looked at verse 13, we saw two people mentioned and a group of people. We saw a person referred to as a dragon, a group of people referred to as a woman, and a male child. Now, we've covered this several weeks, so you should get these questions correctly. So, who is the dragon? Satan, yep. Who is the woman? Israel. And who is the male child? Awesome. You get a gold star. How many of you are old like me or old enough when you went to Sunday school and if you brought your Bible, you got a star. If you attendance, you got a star. Attendance, you get a star. Okay. And then if you memorized the scripture that was for that week, you got a star. And you're always looking for that gold star that you would get. So you did good. Gold star. But see, Satan was furious. And the verse we just read says he pursued the woman. Satan again was back on earth and he is going to go after the nation of Israel. And as we will see eventually, after all those that were saved during the tribulation. But this pursuing is an act of going after swiftly. I mean, he is mad. So he's going after them. He's trying to get them. And great persecution is going to come behind this pursuing. But why is he going with such ferocity? Because again, as we have learned, he is no longer allowed to come back to heaven and accuse the believers before the Lord. And because of that, Satan knows his time is short. Now, I would say personally, this is me, that Satan knew there was an allotted time for him to be able to go and to deceive. To have people deceived to the point of not calling on the Lord Jesus to save their soul. And but now he knows it is not long before he is not just cast out of heaven, but soon will be cast into the lake of fire, hell for all of eternity. And he's going to go try to take as many as he can with him to hell. And followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thought, that fact ought to now motivate us, ought to enter our heart and our mind that we now go and make sure we're sharing the gospel in our lives as we go to make sure there's as many as we can take with us to heaven. Because time is short. Time is short. But here we see that Satan is going after the Jews. But remember this. Remember this. Pastor Kevin talked about this a few weeks ago. If you are a child of God, you are under God's protection. God is with you in all circumstances, and nothing happens to us that is not under God's control. And we see this. Look at verse 14. It says, "But the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half time." And here again we see some symbolism that we talked about earlier. The woman Israel is given two wings of the great eagle. And again, not that the whole nation gathered together and they got two wings and they started flying off, or some great eagle came by and they all jumped on its back and took off. But as you look through scriptures, you see how the sign of an eagle was for protection and strength for the nation of Israel. Think about how we, the United States, the eagle as a symbol. But we see this in Exodus 19, verse 4 as well, that God is talking to Moses right before he's to go up to Mount Sinai and receive the law, the Ten Commandments from God, to show them what their lives are now to look like and how they are to worship and serve him. But look at the screens, Exodus 19, verse 4. It says, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Again, God just detailing out his protection for the Israelites as they left Egypt. And so it is here again as Israel escapes Satan this time. Described as a serpent in this verse, and they go into this place that God has set aside for them. We don't know where that is. But God has set a place for them here in this wilderness where he was going to protect them for a time, times, and a half time. And we saw the same terminology back in our study in Daniel, and it's in chapter 7, verse 25, as Daniel was given vision of the end times, but primarily how the Antichrist was going to deceive people and come on the scene. But we see this from Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says, "He," and that's speaking of the Antichrist, "shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half time." And this is reference again of what we saw several weeks ago at the beginning of this chapter, where again it talks about the woman, Israel, going into the wilderness but being protected for 1,260 days, which shows us this time, times, and half time is 3.5 years. And look at this simple description of how it is translated. You can see it on the screens. But a time, 1 year. times equals 2 years. And a half time, 1/2 year. You add that together and you get your 3.5 years. But remember where we are. We're in the tribulation. And we're in that final 3.5 years of the tribulation. But once again, we see the ferocity of which Satan is coming after the nation of Israel. But we also see the protection that God gives them. As we read verses 15 and 16, it says, "The serpent poured out water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood." There it is, the attack, the ferocity of coming after them. But, in verse 16, "But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured out from his mouth." Now, we have definitely seen the ferocity of what water can do recently, haven't we? But we also know, we can go back to Genesis chapter 7 when we think about the flood as God flooded the earth and how the waters of the deep came up from the earth. And yes, the rain came 40 days and 40 nights, but what really brought the water was everything bursting up from the deep. And through that flood, it totally changed the topology of the earth. And that's how we've got what we've got today, is through the flood. Not millions of years of the religion of evolution. Evolution is not science. How the world was shaped, how the earth was shaped, is what happened after the flood. And how that amount of water moved and changed things. But what was experienced about a month ago now, slow-moving rivers became a torrent of flowing waters. Devastating. Annihilating. Completely obliterating towns, homes, and yes, human life. But anything in that water's path was going to be destroyed. And that is Satan's plan here. To devastate, to annihilate, to obliterate Israel. Once again, for here symbolism is used to show the ferocity of Satan coming after him, after them. That he opens up his mouth and water coming out like a torrent coming after the nation of Israel. But what we see here is, remember, who's in charge? The Antichrist. He's in charge. So what we're actually seeing is an army is going to be coming after the nation of Israel. And there are several portions of Scripture that speak to an army or wrath coming upon people like a flood. And we see this in Psalm 124. And if you will, I want you to turn to Psalm 124. Psalms is in about the middle of your Bible, so you should be able to get there pretty quickly. But this psalm that we're about to read, again, yes, does show how the attack of people are coming upon towards the nation of Israel, or a nation against the nation of Israel. But also what we'll read as we get towards the end of it is the protection that God gives to the nation. So Psalm 124, and I'm going to go ahead and begin to read. It says, "If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger was kindled against us. Then the flood," see the terminology here, the description, "then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." So again, you see how that relates to that this nation was coming after Israel, seeking to destroy it, but then God steps in again and protects. You can turn back to the book of Revelation. But God is going to keep his promises to the nation of Israel. And here, as we see during this time of the tribulation, he is going to protect them again. Remember from Matthew chapter 24 when Jesus was describing to his disciples about the end times. In verses 15 through 22 of Matthew 24, Jesus says this, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let the one who's on the housetop not go down to take what is in his house. And let the one who's in the field not turn back to take his cloak. And alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days, pray that your flight may not be in winter or on Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be short. So again, we see God's mercy and protection here. For the sake of the elect, those days had been cut short. Because again, these last 3.5 years, like it said here, that there's great tribulation coming like never seen before. And that's what's happening now as the Antichrist unleashes this army to go after the nation of Israel. So for 3.5 years, Satan, again, through the Antichrist, goes after everyone that will not bow down to him or take his mark. Remember what the abomination of desolations is again. You should get this pretty well embedded in your mind now. That here, during this tribulation time, that the temple is rebuilt and the Jews are allowed to start doing their sacrifices. But then the Antichrist puts a stop to that. And he sets up in that temple an image of himself. And he walks in and he says, now you will bow down to me. You're going to worship me. And you're going to take a mark to show that you have committed yourself to me. A mark, 666, either on the right hand or the forehead. And with that mark, these people will be easily identifiable. The 666, the Son of Man. But I say again, but God. God protects them as the Antichrist and his armies unleash his terror upon the nation of Israel and the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ that have been saved during the tribulation. Now we just read again that Satan's attack was like him opening his mouth and a river coming out, like a torrent of water just coming after them. With this ferocity and seeking to destroy and annihilate this nation. But the protection is described as the earth opening its mouth and swallowing that water, swallowing that river. Now as we study this, what we see is what is taught, that what's happened here is to swallow up this army is there could have been some sort of weather-created phenomenon. That there was an earthquake, that maybe as they were going, there's an earthquake and a lot of the army fell. Or what we've been seeing as through our study, that there have been earthquakes. There's been stars falling. There's been hail, fire, demonic locusts. So however God wanted to do this, he was protecting Israel from this army. This army was not going to get to the nation of Israel. We see God's protection over the nation of Israel several times through Scripture with miraculous events. Think about as I mentioned earlier, as the Israelites left Egypt, they're headed towards the promised land and they come to this little thing called the Red Sea. And Pharaoh, after he's released them, changes his mind and now he comes after them with his army and there's the Israelites with their back, if you will, against the Red Sea, nothing in between Pharaoh and his armies, but that water. Well, I'll say again, there was something between them, and it was God. God had made promises that he would fulfill. And so he tells Moses, we know it, stretch out your staff, those waters part. And the Israelites walk across on dry ground all the way over across the Red Sea. And God is holding back those armies from Egypt to come, Pharaoh's armies to get to them. And he's holding them back. And then as the Israelites get across, and then God allows that army to come now. And they get out into the middle of that Red Sea. And here comes all those waters. And they destroy and kill those Egyptians. God's protection. His protection. In 2 Kings, the Assyrians had King Hezekiah and the people of Judah surrounded with 185,000 soldiers. Hezekiah bowed himself before God in prayer, though, and the prophet Isaiah came to King Hezekiah and he said, King Hezekiah, the Lord has heard your prayer. He's heard your petition and he's going to protect you. God's going to deliver you. In 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 32 through 35, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, He shall not come into the city or shoot an arrow there, or come before it with a shield or cast up a siege mount against it. By the way that he came, by the same he shall return, and he shall not come into the city, declares the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. And when the people arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies. Ladies and gentlemen, God's promises are sure. His protection is definite. And he is precise in how and why and what he does in the protection for us. You can rest assured. As Pastor Matthew was sharing his thought, you can rest assured, whatever you're going through, that God is there. He's promised to be with you, to never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't mean there's not going to be a struggle. There doesn't mean there's not stuff coming up. We live in a broken, sin-sick world. It doesn't mean there's not going to be persecution for standing upon the Word of God. It will come. But we can have strength because, again, God's promises are sure. His protection is definite. And he is precise in how he's going to help us and lead us through every situation. But Satan, through the Antichrist and this great army, he can't get to the Jews. God has protected them. He has shielded them off from this army. Well, Satan, because of that, shifts his aim from the Jews to another group of people. Look at verse 17. It says, "Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the sand of the sea." Well, who is this offspring of the woman that Satan is now going to make war against? Again, remember where we are. We're in the time of tribulation. We're 3.5 years in now. And we've learned about the two witnesses that were preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people got saved. We know of the 144,000 that God sealed, the Jews, 144,000 Jews that God sealed, again, to go and proclaim the truth of the gospel. Again, many people were saved because of that. So we see now who he's turned his attention to. It's anyone that now is keeping the commandments of God, holding on to the testimony, which means what? They did not take the mark. They're going to be easily identifiable. And as he unleashes his anger, his hatred towards them, they are martyred. Remember back from Revelation 6, and it talked about the martyrs that were seated under the throne and they were crying out to God, "When are you going to avenge us?" And he told them, "Due time, in time." But there's brothers, there's sisters that are going to meet the same fate because of them trusting in me. But I'll take care of it. There will be an end that will come. But what we read in verse 17 are marks of a true believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, a true believer of Jesus will keep the commandments of God. They will hold to the testimony of Jesus. And I want to focus on those two words for a moment. Keep and hold. Keep here is defined as to attend to carefully, to take care of, to guard. This just popped in my mind, so I just saw a mother just walking with her child, probably just took them to the restroom, and they were tending to them. They were taking care of them carefully. They were guarding them. Isn't that what we do with our children? Isn't that what we do with our family? Men, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing in our family? Attend to, take care of carefully, guard. And so that keep is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will attend to carefully. Lord, how am I to serve you? How am I to be living for you? And then we guard our heart to continue again reading the scriptures. But we're to hold it. This word hold means to have, to possess, to cling to. And I love the Greek word, little play on words, and this is just me on this. I'm sorry, I keep saying Greek, it's always in my mind, but Hebrew, because it is in the Old Testament as well, but the Greek word here is echo as well. And I'm thinking of with what we're protecting, what we're holding on to, the commandments of God and the testimony that we echo those out in proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we find these commandments, of course, in God's Word. We find Jesus' testimony, the testimony in God's Word. And we can sum that up in lots of verses, but I just picked out a few. And I want us to think about that a little bit. What is the testimony of Jesus? How do we articulate that? Well, John chapter 1, verse 14 says this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Tell us again that Christ came. Christ left heaven. He came and He put on this flesh for us. But why? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And for the wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." And that's why Jesus came. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." How did He provide salvation? Well, Romans 5:8, "But God shows His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Don't forget the cross. It's on that cross that Jesus shed the blood that provides salvation for us. Is that blood shed? Is that death He died? But is that resurrection that we sung about, that third day when He came out of that tomb, came out of that grave and ascended to heaven, that shows that He defeated this sickness. He defeated this death. He defeated hell through what He did. I was driving home yesterday. From High Point. And as you're coming into Wilkes, I start anticipating something. And some of y'all probably know what I'm talking about. You pass that little turn, and there's that huge white cross. And no matter the day, no matter the problem, no matter the circumstance, the cross covers it all. And gives you that peace and that strength. And allows you to take that breath, saying, "Lord, You got it. You got it. It's all You." But when it comes to salvation, again, it's only through the conviction of the Holy Spirit of our sin. And in turn, we repent and call on the Lord Jesus to save our souls. And in our salvation, then we are to live obediently to His Word. We are to keep the commandments. We are to hold on to cherish the testimony of the Lord Jesus. We are to cherish His Word because it is a precious thing He's given us. And as disciples of the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this possession of salvation should permeate out of our lives. Just as the people in tribulation time right now, those that refuse the mark, Antichrist and his armies, they're coming after them now. And they're going again to be easily identifiable because there's no mark. And their life is over. But again, if we're following the Lord Jesus Christ now, that's what our life should be. We should be easily identifiable as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does our life look? Okay, mirror in front of me, okay? How does my life look when it comes to keeping the commandments, holding on to the testimony that, again, our whole life is to exalt the Lord Jesus. Our whole life is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Because, again, time is short and Christ is coming back. So wherever we are in our lives, job, school, whatever, family, it is to glorify the Lord Jesus and to be that witness, that ambassador for Him. So I ask us all that question. If you profess to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, has this change that you say has happened in your life? You remember, it says 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone be in Christ, they are a new creation. They're a new creature. The old has passed. That old sinful life is gone." Not that we don't battle with that sin nature, but that old sin's gone and new. We're focusing on Christ. Is that evident in our life for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? Could we be described as verse 17, that someone looks at you? They may disagree with you. They may dislike you of your stance. But can they say, yeah, I don't like them. I don't like what they stand for. But yeah, they're a keeper of God's commandments. They hold on to that testimony that they hold so dear. Can that be said of us? You know, Jesus has a lot to say about these marks as a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 9, 23 through 25 says this, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? See, if we are following Jesus, we will keep his commandments. We will hold on to his testimony. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 says this, and Jesus said to the Jews who had believed, now don't miss that, who had believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from heartache? No. Free from trouble? No. Free from temptation? No. But free from hell. Free from fear. Free from the sting of death, comfort in all situations, peace that passes all understanding as the storms of life try to come at us like a torrent of water, but free from going through the tribulation. So again, if you're lost today, if you haven't come to that point of repentance and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where you're heading if you don't die first. And if you die now lost, you are going to hell. To Hades to begin with right now, but you'll end up in hell. But if you're alive and you're lost, when Christ comes back, you will go through this. Again, we've said it several times throughout these weeks of study. What is the chance you'll actually be the ones here that got saved? It's very small. So I urge you and I beg you, and I know again, it's only through the drawing of the Holy Spirit, but I urge you and I beg you, if you're lost today, call on the Lord to save your soul. You know, Jesus talks about how those that keep his commandments, that hold true to his word, are his. And that's a comforting thought, that he calls them his own. They are his own. But see, there's a flip side. If you don't keep his commandments, if you don't hold true to his word, he says you are not his. You are separated from him. Look at the screens and let these verses sink into your mind and heart today. It's John chapter 14, verses 23 through 24. It says, Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Are you a lover of God's word? And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Let that sink in. The Lord will come to us. He will make our home with us. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Again, this is a command of God to repent and surrender. Which one are you in those verses? Which one am I in that verse? Again, could we be described as what verse 17 says in Revelation chapter 12, that we are a keeper of God's commandments? Are we holding on to this testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the testimony of God's word? See, if we are a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we are under God's protection. There's nothing that comes through our life that does not go through God's hands first. We've studied through Peter on Wednesday nights. Again, we see that tribulation will come. That there'll be times, trials in our lives that will come at us. But again, that is something to be used in our life to grow in Christ. That's what we called what we've been teaching in 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter on Wednesday nights, growing in Christ. And I've shared this several times, but anytime I go through a situation, a struggle, I've learned to ask myself two questions. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? And two, who am I going to get to witness to? Because our trials sometimes put us in people's lives that we would not maybe ever get in front of them before. And so those opportunities of sharing the gospel, those opportunities of learning and growing and seeing him work in our heart and our lives to be that great witness. I'm going to have to look this time because I thought I missed. Yep, it's up there. If you've seen the title up on the wall there, it says Satan's Plot, or Satan's Plot to Destroy. But see, Satan's plot is no different during this time than it is today. It's been his plot the whole time, from the time Adam and Eve bit that fruit, to destroy, to deceive. And so here it is again, that he's seeking to destroy. And he's trying to deceive today and destroy those that will not repent and believe. But you see, we are under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ if we're saved today. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And though that title was Satan's Plot or Satan's Plot to Destroy, I think most anything what I was trying to bring out today is that protection of God. Nothing can happen to us outside of His will, and we can take comfort in that. We can have peace in that. And so I'd like to do something a little different today. We've done this actually a couple times, but I want us to turn to Psalm 91. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to read all 16 verses of Psalm 91. Now, I'm not asking you to sing, so don't let that make you nervous. You don't have to carry a tune with this. But I want us to read it loud. And as you're reading, look at the words. Look at God's protection for us. Then look at His promise. The last three verses is saying where He's saying, I will protect us and give us what we need. So if you will stand, please. And it'll be on the screen as well. But if you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, and when I count to three, we're going to begin. And I want you to read loud. I want you to read out. So one, two, three. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and on the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample under foot. Pause for a second, because I know we kind of got tired and we start waning a little bit. Did that in the first service. But again, these are the three verses I really wanted us to see. So I want us to start again with that loud. Let's go. These are God's promises to us. So when I get to three, we'll start verse 14. One, two, three. Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect Him because He knows my name. When He calls to me, I will answer Him. You may be seated. The Lord is with you, if you know Him. He is our protection. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He covers us with His faithfulness and His mercy. There's nothing we cannot endure because of the Lord. But if you're lost today, You see the promise in those last three verses that He will come to you. Call on Him to save your soul. Call on Him. Because what we've been studying are events that are going to happen. These are facts. I know it sounds science fiction per se, but these are facts. These things are going to happen. Think of what we see every day. So I beg you, if you're lost, repent and call on the Lord to save your soul. Believer, He's got you. He's right there with you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you along the way. And if you're a believer, guess what? We win. You are victorious because of your repentance and calling on the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. Take comfort and peace in that today. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You right now to come before You to continue to praise and worship You this day. Lord, I know again our lives are lives of worship. We're to give to You each and every day, Lord, praise and worship, and to seek, Lord, how You want us to be used that day for Your honor and Your glory. But Lord, I thank You that You designed this day for us to come together as a body of believers, the ecclesia, to gather together, the gathering, Lord, to worship, but to stir each other up, to encourage each other. If you're hurting, to come alongside and say, we're here, we're praying. If you need comforting, to be comforted. Lord, to rejoice with each other when we see a work of You in our lives and we give You praise for it, and we can come alongside a brother and sister and say, praise the Lord, I'm so happy for you. But we also encourage and call out as witnesses to those that are lost to repent. Because again, what we're studying is going to happen. Christ is coming back. And if you die in your lostness before He comes back, you've sealed your fate. But do you really want to go through the tribulation? Call on Him today. Father, we love You. We give You praise. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.